If you have not been getting our newsletter, you may not know this, but this morning we get to hear from Pastor David, who, as he's getting ready to start, I thought I'd just offer a quick thank you. There were 22 of you at David's ordination, and it was such a, it was so fun two Friday nights ago. Yeah, to be together and to get to celebrate what God's been up to in David's life. And so, hey, David, I hope you know that we love you here, man, and are grateful for you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. I want you to greeting each other. Say shalom. Say shalom. I'd like to begin by expressing my gratitude to Discovery for providing this wonderful opportunity to preach. Thank you. Preaching in English is a tremendous challenge for me, especially given the fact that this is my first time doing so. So, yeah, I'm not good at speaking English, and you may be uncomfortable with my English pronunciation. Maybe you need patience. So don't expect me, right? Expect God. But I believe that God, who has made me stand before you today, has a special plan. Amen. As you know, I was ordained before the last week. I really thank you so much for your support and many blessings and love. So Eugene and I have been looking back on our life in America for the past few weeks and have thanked God. We have faced a lot of hardship and difficulties, but we realize that God has led us faithfully along the way. When we came to America, we had our own plan. The plan didn't exactly pan out the way I envisioned, but I realized that God's plan is always perfect and better than my plan. Looking back, I realized that it was the grace of God that led me and my family here. More than anything, we appreciate that Discovery Church has took us in as a family. And I believe this is a result of God's amazing grace and blessing. I believe God is always faithful to me and to us. Amen? Amen. I also believe that God will always lead the way for our family and our church. I would like to tell you a little bit about myself, because some of you might be wondering who I am, who David is. So I was born in the countryside. So I was what you may call a hillbilly in America. Yeah. All my family faithfully attended the Church of the Nazarene. Along with them, I have never left the Church of the Nazarene. My faith in Christ guided me through my teenage years. Then, I majored in architecture and engineering at a university. And I was an outstanding student. It's true. Naturally, people expected that I would be an architect. In fact, I wanted to be an architect that honors God by designing beautiful buildings, not just any buildings, but church buildings. That was my dream. Really cool. Yes. I was fortunate enough to have been contacted by a company right before my graduation. It was a construction company where I felt that I could pursue a career toward my goal. It felt as if I had taken a step closer to my dream. Everything seem to be going well. But, always body is interesting. But the biggest problem was that I had no peace in my mind. I dreamed of being an architect all my life. But for some reason, I was not happy at all. I don't exactly remember what led to it, but I decided to pray. So I started to pray. I went to church every day for about 3 months and prayed on my knees. I cried out, "Oh God, what is the way I should go? Why is there no joy in me? It was my dream. Why?" So I asked God over and over again. I prayed and expected God to show me a clear way to go. But there was no answer, at least an answer that I wanted. However, the only thing revealed to me in my prayers was that I was a wretched sinner. So all I could do was repent. It was a time that I encountered God. It felt as if I was just a shabby, dirty sinner before the holy God. God is holy. Realizing that God is holy, all I could do was just repent. It was in my repentance that I found my earthly dream did not present much value before the holy God. Then, God instilled in me bigger dreams, the things that he would be pleased with. God let me know the Father's heart for the lost people. As we know, God is still looking for the lost people. After graduation, I decided to serve on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ while letting go of the dream to be an architect. I served with my musical talents in the CCC Worship Ministry team, and I met Yujin at CCC and got married. For more than 10 years, I have been traveling to many countries sharing the gospel through worship. Through these experiences, God taught me what truly pleases him. I witnessed many people come to Jesus. I believe nothing makes God happier than the lost people return to him. Amen? Yeah. Looking back on my past, I wanted to be an architect, building physical buildings. So it may seem as if my dream hadn't come true. However, I believe that God made me to be a spiritual architect, building the church, building the body of Christ, building the kingdom of God. I'm a pastor, but I'm also a spiritual architect. I believe that God is still working through me. We are well aware that the kingdom of God is built not by might, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit continues to work through us and lead us and helps us to build the kingdom of God. So we need the help of Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Let's talk about Pentecost. In the Old Testament, Pentecost was the feast which occurred 50 days after Passover. As the Passover feast celebrated the exodus of the Israelites from the slavery of Egypt, so Pentecost celebrated God's gift of the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. In the new covenant of the Messiah, the Passover event takes on its new meaning as the celebration of Christ's death and resurrection. The exodus of people from slavery to sin and death into the kingdom of God. And in the New Testament as well, the Pentecostal feast is fulfilled and made new by the coming of the new law, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples of Jesus. According to Acts 2, verse 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like a rush of a strong wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them split tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Actually, they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. According to John chapter 14, 26, and chapter 15, 26, and Acts chapter 1, verse 5, the descent of the Holy Spirit had already been promised. It was not an accident. The Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ had promised to his disciples came on the day of Pentecost. The disciples received the power from on high, and they began to preach and bear witness to Jesus as the risen Christ, the King and the Lord. Why is the Pentecost event important in our Christian history? Because the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples caused the explosive expansion of the church. So this moment has traditionally been called the birthday of the church. That's why Pentecost is one of the most important events in our Christian history. Of course, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon us is still the power to drive our church today. Do you believe that? Amen. Once again, it must be noted that the Feast of Pentecost is not simply the celebration of an event which took place centuries ago. It is the celebration of what must happen and does happen to us in our church today. We all have died and been raised with the King Jesus, and we all have received his Spirit. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We are the body of Christ. God's Spirit dwells in us. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Amen. Furthermore, we can find one more important thing. The Pentecost event is the challenge of our church to multinational missions. According to Acts 2, on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit empowered the disciples to speak and praise God in many languages that they had never learned in the ordinary manner. Symbolically, this miracle reinforces the multilingual, multicultural, multiracial mission of the church. We are to be a community in which all people are drawn together by God's love in Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, 28, Paul says, "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus." Amen? We believe that the power of the Holy Spirit overcomes culture, race, and language. Even though I do not speak English very well, I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking through me in this moment. Amen. Not by might, but by his power. Who is the Holy Spirit? According to the article of faith in our Church of the Nazarene, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Triune Godhead, who is ever present and efficiently active in and with the Church of Christ, convincing the world of sin, regenerating those who repent and believe, sanctifying believers, and guiding into all truth as it is in Jesus. Christians are meant to live in the presence and power of the Spirit of the living God. The Holy Spirit helps us to confess Jesus as our Savior and Lord. The Holy Spirit empowers us to serve God with supernatural power, binds us together as the body of Christ, helps us to pray, and even intercedes for us with God the Father. The Holy Spirit leads us in the way and helps us to live in this world like Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to show people what God is like through our lives. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be full of the Holy Spirit? From what I have seen in my country, I think many of Korean Christians have some misunderstandings about being filled with the Holy Spirit. People tend to associate it with a special experiences or a phenomenon, such as gift of tongues, interpretation, healing, and prophecy. People believe that these things must happen when one is filled with the Holy Spirit. It is possible that these things might occur, but they are not by any means essential. If so, what does it look like to be full of the Holy Spirit? Full of the Holy Spirit means being full of the Spirit of Jesus. Full of Jesus. That means that Jesus is in a state of complete control over me as my master. Being full of Jesus is to have life in which he takes the lead and enables me to live according to his will. The master of my life should be Jesus, not me. We have to live a Christ-directed life. It's about who has sovereignty over me. Being full of the Holy Spirit is to recognize that Jesus is the master of my life. You don't need to expect supernatural experiences or phenomena through the Holy Spirit. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit every moment, every day. Being full of the Holy Spirit is not always dramatic or turbulent or supernatural. We can live the life we want, he wants, with the power of the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus. So we must be filled with the Holy Spirit and recognize that we need his help. Amen? Amen. Let's think about how. How can we live full of the Holy Spirit? We can pray like the disciples did in Acts. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is being filled with Jesus. We are full of the Holy Spirit when we worship, study, read, and share the Word of God, because Jesus is the Word of God. In other words, full of the Holy Spirit means to know Jesus. Knowing his will and his way is being full of the Holy Spirit. According to Acts, we can see what the early churches did. They simply gathered, prayed, ate, drank, and remembered Jesus. They tried to live a life full of Jesus Christ. This is called a life of worship. Communion is very, very important in our worship today. Communion, the act of eating the body and blood of Jesus, is a symbolic event that makes us one church and one body of Christ Jesus. That is the symbolic meaning of the realization of the kingdom of God and the privilege privilege that only the people of God have. We are full of the Spirit of Jesus when we worship through communion. Do you believe that? Amen. Brothers and sisters, worship God every single day. Try to get together. Study. Read the Bible. And pray. These are the things we can do. It is this unexpectedly simple and repetitive life of a faith that is full of the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to the scriptures again. What happens when we are filled with the Holy Spirit? According to Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judah and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." So we can see what happens when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will receive power and become His witnesses. After all, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we become witnesses. I'd like to focus on the word witnesses in this scripture. So, what is a witness? Look closely at what happened on Pentecost. First, people heard a sound from heaven like a strong wind. Second, people saw some shape like tongues of fire. And then they spoke in different languages. Hear, see, and speak. Again, see, hear, see, and speak. These three things can be a characteristic of a witness. Definition of a witness is that witness is a person who sees an event, typically a crime or accident, take place. Obviously, hearing could be included in this definition. The qualification as a witness must be someone who has personally experienced any event or phenomenon, personally and directly seeing and listening. What should we experience as a Christian? We must experience the living God. We must know and experience what God is like, especially through worship and Word of God, so that we can tell others what God is like. That is witness. Think about it. Without any experiences, how can you tell what God is like? If you were in court, you would be charged with perjury. Maybe we can easily tell who God is through the Bible. But who is God you experienced? We can easily talk about God in many stories in the Bible. God of Abraham, God of Jacob, God of Israel, God of Moses, God of David, God of Elijah, and so on. Let's think about it. Maybe you know about me, right? So some people talk about me. David, he is a 40-year-old man, but he looks young for his age, right? He's a pastor in church. He's a Korean, yes. He is short, but really handsome. He has a beautiful wife, and two kids. He can play the guitar very well. He lives in Castro Valley, something like that. But someone who really knows me can say this. David, he is a very warm person. His heart is filled with enthusiasm for God. He loves God and he loves church. He loves the body of Christ. He has a passion for worship. He has a wonderful vision of building worship where there is no worship. And he's a good listener. He is more beautiful on the inside than outside. Do you agree? Yeah. Makes, for example, I know about President Trump. You know, right? You know about President Trump, right? But actually, I don't know him. Also, he doesn't know me. We don't know each other, right? Let me ask him. Do you just know about God? Or do you also know God personally? What is your God like? The prophets and apostles were the first witnesses. They tell us what God is like, but then they call us to come and experience Him for ourselves. We start with the witnesses in the Bible, but then we become witnesses to what God has done in our lives, in our own lives. Have you encountered God? What is your story? We must be able to talk about God we have met and experienced. This is the witnesses. Unfortunately, the problem is that many people cannot see and hear, even though they have eyes and ears. We need ears to hear and eyes to see. In other words, we need the Holy Spirit who helps us to see and hear and experience God. Because the Holy Spirit can make us see, hear, and speak like He did to the disciples on Pentecost. Only the Holy Spirit can make us Jesus' witnesses. Do you believe that? Amen. So we must experience God in person. We must listen and see what God wants and who God is, what God's will is, where His way is. As we know, there were many martyrs in the history of the church. From a religious perspective, it is important to note that this martyrdom was the driving force that allowed Christianity from Jerusalem to expand around the world. As we know that many of the apostles we know well as many unknown martyrs, were persecuted and killed for the gospel. In our Christian history, martyrdom has continued. From the early church to the present day, it is no exaggeration to say that the expansion, growth, and power of the church in the history of Christianity were martyrdom. As we know, the cross of Jesus is the most representative. To follow Jesus is to face death without fear. This is what makes Christianity unique and powerful. The word martyr, is that right? Martyr, yeah. The word martyr comes from Greek word martyr. The word witnesses used in Acts chapter 1:8 is martus in Greek. The word martus is the origin of martyr. Witness is martus. Martus is martyr. So witness is martyr. Interestingly, in Greece today, martyrs and witnesses are used as the same word. So martyr refers to early Christians who died without denying their faith. The word martyr was used to mean that they were witnesses of faith, martyrs of faith. Living like Jesus was a natural idea that early Christians had at the time. Just as Jesus showed them His love through dying on the cross, also they have proved it through death. Witnesses proved their faith through death. Martyrs proved their faith through death. So the witness is a martyr. Today, living in this world as a witness means that we must lay down our lives for God as well. It is a life of struggle for the glory of God. All of you and I are witnesses. We are martyrs. To live as a Christian and as a witness, as a martyr in this world, how much are you struggling? Living as a witness is a tough life. It's a very, very difficult life. What do you struggle for? Are you struggling to get more money and honor and fancy house and expensive car? Your vision, your well-being, your business, your plan, your success, something you desire? I'm sure there is nothing more important than seeking God. Living as witness of Christ in this world means a life that gives up the life that we want. It could be an unappreciated life in this world. We could be persecuted for truth. Sometimes we could be a laughingstock or mockery. But if we have experienced God in person, we can be willing to live this life as martyrs, not by might, but by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So the Holy Spirit still wants to walk through us. Holy Spirit still wants to change the world through us. The Holy Spirit is the most powerful source of strength to lead us and our church. Holy Spirit wants to show the world what God is like through our lives. The Holy Spirit makes us see, hear, speak, and experience what God is like. The Holy Spirit is the protagonist in your story. Amen? Finally, I want to end the sermon with some question. Would you please close your eyes? Then I want you to think of following some questions. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit is full within us, we are witnesses. Are you witness? Are you martyrs? What are you struggling for? What are you fighting for in your life? What do you hear? What do you see? What do you speak to the people? Brothers and sisters, tell your own story to the people. Rely on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can help you. Tell your story, not only through your words, but also through your whole life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for showing us your love on the cross. Thank you for giving us your Spirit to live in your power. We thank you for calling us as your witnesses in this world. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Help us to see your way, hear your voice, and experience you. Give us power to live as a witness, as a martyr in our lives. not by might, but by your power, your spirit, your love, and your help. We only trust you and praise you, Lord. We love you. I pray in Jesus' name.